Okay, so all right, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and I got a special guest in the house. I mean, she's been here before. It's been a minute, though. I got Brittany, the Quiet Storm Cloudy, in the building. Brittany, what's been going on with you? It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It always seems like when you reflect back on that, but seems like time's been flying and otherwise.
Yeah, first off, I just wanted to say congratulations on your win. You know, I did get a chance to catch a fight. It's been like, I mean, time's flying again. It's been like, what, 3 weeks since your fight?
Yeah, it has been. It's already almost, it's been going by really fast.
Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about your fight first. How did everything go, in camp this time, leading up to this fight?
I would say this fight was really different. I've been kind of... Well, this whole year has been a whole little journey, and for this fight, I guess I made it in my mind that I wanted to make it happen regardless. I've been back in St. Louis, and I've been kind of traveling back and forth and training between St. Louis and Main Street in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to get a fight for a while too, like since May. I was working at the beginning of the year, and I had fractured my hand from my last fight, so I had to take a little time off, but when I was ready to get back to it, I was ready, eager, looking for fights, but it seemed like there was some troubles with finding some opponents and missed opportunities for finding fights. So I've been kind of just on and off here and there. And so finally, when Apex reached out to me for this matchup, I was really excited because that's been a whole goal. It was like 6 months of, the waiting game, and everything's been like that in a lot of sports and everything since the pandemic. But at the time, I feel like I've just been in this big stage of transition, literally transitioning from coming back home from California to coming back and trying to find my place with a home gym. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy to announce that we have our Integrity Fitness is opening up in January, and I want to be a part of that gym as an instructor. But that kind of left me in a position to where I didn't really have a gym that I was at for my whole camp. So I basically went to multiple gyms in different places around St. Louis to get my training in for my camp. And so for me, I was like, this is just about me. I'm going to make it happen, even if I don't have what I really want in place. But I got the training in, people who I've trained with and different gyms and coaches who all, helped pour into me and open their doors to me. So training was like that after I figured it out. Then I was able to, the whole time I'm always like, okay, I really hope my opponent still stays for, sticks in too. So I'm like, I'm doing all this work trying to make, eliminate out of limits or whatever. And so it was really a relief to get there and to weigh in and face off and say, okay, this is getting ready to happen. So my preparation wasn't my most ideal preparation going into it, but it was just from the mindset of I'm going to make it work no matter what. So
Yeah, I was just about to say that's kind of like a fight in itself. I mean, trying to find the gym, or just going back and forth to different gyms, you kind of have to already say, oh, I'm in a fight now, trying to adapt to versus some fighters that just have a go-to to just go to train in one gym. You had to go to several gyms. Like, do you feel like that kind of helped you prepare you mentally to just say, I can do anything, or I can just go in and anytime something's uncomfortable, I can adjust to the situation?
Yeah, definitely. As I realize every day that it's just how life is, period. Right. Nothing's ever going to be perfect how you want it. And so if you still have something that you're striving for, you're going to still make it work with what you have. And eventually, you'll get to that place where everything starts to fall into place and it'll be better. But until then, you still got to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. How long after your hand healed up, like how long did it take to find an opponent? Like, how many opponents did you have to go through? How many fights got turned down?
Well, I guess I was saying I was actively kind of looking around April. Mm-hmm. I guess it was difficult for like some of the smaller promotions to find girls to come into town. Mm-hmm. who I haven't fought in this area in the Midwest. So I don't know. At the same time, I kind of feel like there wasn't really a priority of them wanting me to fight on that card at the time. I feel like I kind of learned about those local fights a little after it had already passed. And so I'm just constantly in conversation with my management and promoters and seeing, you know, you guys looking for a female fight? Is there someone? Finding my own matchups. But let's see, there was maybe one fight that there was a potential for an opponent that was kind of, I think that was back in, that would have been for October, but they ended up not going through because they wanted to fight at a different weight class, and I wasn't trying to do that. But I don't know, it was like crickets for a while. So it was just like, okay, maybe something happened. Just keep training. Okay, it didn't work this time. Just keep training, hope for some of them. So, yeah.
I mean, it kind of paid off. I mean, you got the main event on a card, right? Like, when you got the main event, what was your reaction to that? You know, did you feel a little bit different, like a little bit more hyped up, or did you just kind of say, okay, I'm ready, you know?
I guess it was really, at first they said that we were going to be the co-main event, which I was like, okay, that's cool. But in my mind, like I've, like even when I like ran track and I did any sports, I was always eager to get going. So I'm like, wow, this is a nice, you know, position to be in to be the main event. At the same time, I'm like, well, that means I have to also sit around for this long and wait to compete. So if I had my choice, I'll be wanting to be one of the first, you know, athletes out there just getting at it. So, but it was still nevertheless a great moment. I embodied and just lived in all of the moment, even the weight, and just absorbed in all the good vibes for the whole fight, because it went exactly how I was, you know, planning it to go.
Okay. So bringing that up though, yeah, I get, like I said, I got a chance to see your fight. You know, I had you win in the fight. I see it was a split decision. What did you think of your performance overall?
Well, I tend to feel like I'm always kind of like really hard on myself. So I'm always critical about, I'm always thinking of like areas in which I see that like, okay, I could have definitely been better about, you know, in these particular areas. But overall, I'm going to also give myself some, you know, the gratitude of like, hey, you still pulled it off and you got the win. So that's good. I feel like every fight is a learning experience, an opportunity to get a little bit better. But there was a few things I really wanted to work on to do really well, and I felt like I did well in that. I wish I would have, you know, probably pushed the pace a little bit more and basically pushed the pace more. I know that I could be more active, and I kind of feel like I just went with the flow of how the fight was going, and I didn't, you know, push it a little bit more. Like, I feel like I could have done that. But other than that, I feel good about the fight. I felt strong in all of the positions and where we were, whether it was grappling or striking. So that was the area where I'm like, well, if I felt that comfort, then I could take more risks to, you know, put more things together. So, but it's all in all, just a part of it. I'm glad to, you know, have finally kind of to get back on the winning side of things.
Okay. So what did you feel good about, you know, between, you know, your last performance to this time around? Like, what did you feel like you did really well in this time?
Honestly, it was, for me, is more of so my mental preparation. I feel like physically, I've drilled these things, I've done these things, and I know that I can do these things, and it's just a matter of going in there with the right mindset and preparing with the same mindset. Because I've felt in other ways, times when I've lost fights, the fights that I've lost, it's like, man, I'm overthinking it, or I'm not just tapping into like my natural instinct to do what I've been drilling to do. And so I really just wanted to have a good mindset coming into the fight and keeping that throughout the fight, and, you know, being able to pour more confidence into, hey, like, you've been doing this for a little while, you know what to do naturally, and now it's just a moment just to go out there and execute.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just thinking of, like mental in the fight game? Like, I know for people to say, oh, if it's something physical, get up and do it, you know, your drills, your push-ups, whatever it is, anything like that, road work. But like, how do you get yourself up to do something mentally like that? Like you say, like, what kind of mental preparation do you have to have as a fighter, you know, like to say, I got to get up, I got to make sure I'm ready to push through a fight, or, you know, get up for a fight. Like, what are some of the things you do mentally to prepare?
Well, I guess the first thing that guess comes to mind is, I read this book, the Four Agreements, and it's the first agreement, about always keeping your word. And so when it comes to like the mental preparation, it's, here's what I'm telling myself that I want to accomplish. Here's what I know that I have to do in order to accomplish that. And I know that the most important relationship before any other relationship is the relationship with yourself. So telling myself that I want this, or I'm going to do this, then I'm very critical of all the actions that goes toward, am I actually doing that to make that happen? Mm-hmm. And so always keeping that in mind of what I'm doing this for, the purpose, and how I'm going to get there. Like, I'm a big person on like creating tasks for myself to do that I know that's going to help with the big picture. So if mentally preparing is like, I make sure I've built in my like morning routines of also the things that I want to do for myself, for my mindset, because I feel like going to practice sometimes for me is easier. It's like, you know that the time is there, you go, you're going to work, and you're going to be physical. But the other part that you do on your own by yourself that no one else, you know, is there to make sure that you're doing, that's the part that's the hardest. And that's the other extra things that I know that I need to do that's going to help may take me to the next level and achieve what I want to do. So stretching, yoga, little meditation stuff, reading more, feeding my brain, things like that. Mm-hmm. Doing the basic things like shadow boxing and visualizing and all of those little things that I do in the comfort of my own, you know, brain. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I try to like really work on and stay consistent with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just asked that because even just for regular people, everyday people, it's just like, how do you, one day you feeling hyped up to do something, then like the next day you get up, it's just like, I don't want to do it. But like, I just had to ask that, because it's like, how do you keep it going, you know what I mean? Like, even just for regular life, like, how important is routine for you?
I noticed that when I'm not in routine, things are harder. When those days come, because they will come when you don't feel like getting up, just period.
Yeah,
having that established routine, it becomes just like, this is just what I do. It's no longer a question of, am I going to do it, or am I going to do it, or am I not? Because it's just, as well as you get up to brush your teeth, this is a part of your day, you know, like, so some like developing those habits over time is just, you know, that consistency. Like one simple thing is like, I make my bed every morning, and it's like a little small thing, but I don't think about it ever. It just becomes like naturally. So routines definitely helps with the stability and a framework of making sure that I'm staying on track to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. So without it, it becomes a little hard to measure and judge, you know, your progress and how you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know some people always say, oh, you got to have the right people in camp, but it's almost like you got to be in the right mind state first. Like, you got to be in the right mind state to be able to function right. And I'm kind of glad that you bring a lot of this stuff, because, you know, I follow you and I see some of the little affirmations you post on your IG story, just different little step by steps to get through life. But going back to, you know, even training, like, who are some of the people that helped you out with your camp this time that you kind of want to give some credit to kind of, you know, get you right physically and mentally?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was really hard when they asked, what gym am I fighting out of? Because I was like, I wasn't really fighting out of a particular gym. I was a little bit of everywhere. But so I like tried to like condense it all. And I said, from Houston to St. Louis, my tribe. Right. And that was what I called it when they asked that question. So basically those like from there to there, down in Main Street. I was training with Bob, and I first got connected going down there training with Lauren Murphy to help her for a fight. And I've been going down there ever since because I really like training with her and I really like the environment. And Bob's really cool, and that's been great. Mike Jackson, he's been very instrumental in all of my camp. We've gotten a lot of work in, working on my striking. He actually even came up, flew up to corner me because I didn't have a gym here in St. Louis. So he actually, you know, came out to like continue supporting me even when I'm in Houston, when I'm in St. Louis still. Back in St. Louis, I was a little bit of everywhere. I training at a good friend of ours, Celeste and Quentin's little garage. We always go there to get good technical stand up. It's kind of like a little meeting ground for high level fighters in St. Louis. So that was always, it's always great to know that they're there supporting me and I can go and learn something from them. I mean, I started off at St. Charles MMA, of course, getting the good MMA rounds and sparring rounds there. And there's a lot of really talented fighters out of that gym. Along with Wolves Den, I was venturing all the way out there. This is really far, so I was like, I literally was driving all over the place. But you know, I appreciate Wolves Den opening their door for me and letting me come in and get around with the guys and the girls that train there too, Lily and Liz and Tamika. All the way around, just great. And then on the jiu-jitsu side, I was at Rivers, 10th Planet River City Warriors. I've been going on there, getting some good roles in with them, some striking as well. So like everywhere, I can feel like I can keep going on a list of so many people who also, you know, sending me little messages and help supporting me in any kind of way that they can for the fight camps. One of those I really got to see who still, you know, rock with me, even if I'm not, even if I'm kind of like, you know, just floating in the wind. So,
it's kind of a good time. I mean, sometime at your lowest, that's going to tell you who's really going to be riding with you. Okay. So you have some good people around you. Okay. That's good. Yeah. Backtracking just a little bit here. When you suffered an injury, you know, when you have like a broken hand and it kind of keeps you out of the game, like going back to the mental thing, like how do you keep your mind occupied during that time? I know as a fighter, you want to do something, you want to punch something, you want to strike something, but like, what do you do during that time to just kind of, you know, just try to, you know, understand that I have to kind of sit still? And what do you do to stay occupied during that time?
That's so funny. Cause I think about that time and a lot of times, I don't know, I think in general, like we have been conditioned to like always be on the move. Mm-hmm. Constantly going and like having that time to where you are forced to sit still and sit still with yourself is an amazing time to reflect, as all my sarcasm, but at the time I was, because I came back and I was at home with my mom's, and so I was sitting there like, man, I'm struggling to type on my computer. I was, cause it was my right hand. So that was really hard. I wanted to like, just keep going and get back to it, but I really just had to sit still. So I found other things that I was working on, which I took that as a time to like continue to like work on myself and my own like professional development of, I'm a strong believer in just being a lifetime learner, that there's always something to pour into yourself, to educate yourself, to, you know, just build yourself as a person. So I've always been juggling like my athletic career with my professional career. So it was at the time that my hand was like, was fractured, but I had also gotten to a point where I had been pushing off taking this exam for my counseling degree. And so it kind of all just fell into good alignment that, okay, well, I have nothing else to do but to sit here and study. So I spent a lot of time studying and preparing for that when I first got back home. And so I took that exam, I passed that. So I was able to kind of like just shift my focus more into the academics, my professional career as well during that time, which studying mental health, I can't help but to apply it to myself. So that gives me that time to like, okay, here I'm checking in with myself. How well am I doing with taking care of myself? Fight camps, there's so much energy and effort that's going into the physical. And so it's kind of like after the fights, you really have to cater it to yourself and tend to yourself, because there's a lot of times where I did things when I didn't want to. And so that natural tired feeling of just tired and or just being needing some time for rest and recovery. So definitely spent some time doing that and found myself, you know, I'm in and out of it, but really though, finding how yoga and mindfulness and you know, meditation and things like that, or in reading or whatever, calms me to, you know, bring balance. And so spending time in air doing those things when I can't be as physical as I want.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up about you passing your exam. I want to say congratulations on that.
Thanks.
I do want to ask you a few questions about that, kind of going in that side of your career. But going back to the fight real quick, like how active are you trying to stay, you know, now that you kind of got back into the groove? Like, when was the next time you like to get back into the octagon?
I'm trying to get on a card for next month.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah. So I don't like how long it takes between competitions. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always felt like I feed off the momentum of one competition to another. Right. And that's, you know, you get better because you're constantly doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so as long as I'm healthy, I want to keep at it, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm on a mission. I'm not just, I mean, that's the balance. Sometimes I also have to enjoy the journey and not just, you know, be completely focused on the end game. But at the same time, I'm still thinking about where I want to be, so that fighting can really be a lifestyle for me. Right now, I feel like I'm still in the beginning stages of a lot of things, and I want to, you know, progress and see myself grow in that.
Are you looking to fight with the same organization again, or is that just kind of like a one-off right now? Or
I'm open to fighting for other promotions. I know that LFA is coming to St. Louis in January, so I would love to get on that card. Obviously, I haven't fought in St. Louis since I was an amateur, and so that would be really great. Then, like, there's Shamrock literally the day after that in St. Louis as well. So I'm like, hey, I'm a female fight. You know, you guys know this. Female fights are always good. So hoping that we can find a good matchup and make that happen. I'll be ready to fight as long as I'm healthy. I'll go to next month after that.
Okay, well, I'm going to post something on that, what you just said. I'm going to tag LFA so they can call you. I mean, they be putting these cards out, so they got to get you on there then. Okay. Yeah. So I need you to explain something to like casual fans that still don't understand. Like, you brought up a good point about just wanting to keep the momentum going. Like, what's the difference though? Like, you got to explain to them. Like, some people say, okay, if you ain't getting a fight, they just say, oh, well, you can improve by just staying in the gym. Like, but what's the difference whenever you can just stay active versus just working out in the gym? Like, what's the pros of being an active fighter?
I guess the goal that I was mentioning before is that execution piece. It's like every day in the gym, we're building good habits. We're learning new things, and sparring and practice is always one thing, but it's always so totally different in the actual cage when you actually fight. So I literally like to put the actual competition in its own category of experience. So like, I'm gaining all this experience in practice, and practice is practice. These things do translate over into the cage, but I also like to hone in on the skill of executing when it's game time, you know? And that's where, like, I really feel like the mental preparation is really key, that that also goes into it as well, because you're not in this comfortable place anymore where you're just in the gym with all the teammates. You're in front of an audience for some, I'm not really like really moved by like the audience, but it's just all the extra things that go into that night that makes it different, that you also have to, you know, get used to and have a mental preparation for. Like, everything's about like visualization for me. And the more that I get to experience the flow of how these nights go, the better I am at going into it mentally and physically. And like for this last fight, it was exhausting waiting so long all night and being there for so long. You know, you go to fights and you're just in the back and you got to warm up a few times or whatever. Practice isn't like that. You show up to the gym, you warm up for about 15, 20 minutes, you're sparring, you're going, you know. So there's just like differences between, you know, all these extra elements that are added into the fight night and being able to just practice that over and over again. You naturally see that improvement a little bit quicker than if it was all spaced out.
Okay.
Like my last fight was a whole year ago. And so I was like, I just want to go to the point. All right, fight if you fight, fight you right, fight. That's why I really would just like to skip to that. But, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I hear you. So let's talk a little bit about your career now. Like I said, congratulations. You're a professional licensed counselor. I think from our conversation just now, I already know why you chose this, but why did you choose this path?
I mean, at the end of the day, I did choose it, but I guess I've always been one of those things just happen to kind of fall into place when it happens. And me being an athlete, I like sports. I like to be active, and I would never have thought of like just say have been in the mindset of like, oh, I want to try jujitsu and see how it goes. Because in my head, I was training for the Olympics in 2013. I was like trying to make the B standard. And in my mind at that time, I had aspirations for that. And then things changed and I fall into being exposed to the sport. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I've come to peace with I won't be competitively doing track, but I'm just going to try out this because it seems like an interesting sport. I like sports that are, it's funny, I've never played chess, but fighting gives me chess vibes where there's like a lot. So I like analytical games. I like strategy. And so for me, it was a way, what was intriguing about it is that it's mentally stimulating and it's also physically, you know, physically challenging as well. And so that captivated me. But as the more I trained, the more I got into it, the more I was like, I feel like this is like meeting a lot of needs that I have, like just in my personality. And I stuck with it and I always just wanted more. So it was like, okay, after the jiu-jitsu, it was boxing and it was like, oh, kickboxing. And I mean, the progression of it was, well, I want to actually see how this goes together and see what happens then. So everything has just been like, all right, well, let's see how this goes. And the more and more, the better I get. And so I'm like, okay, well, I can see myself, you know, trying to do the next thing. And that's how it's been. So like you mentioned before, like having good people around me, like the people who are around me, definitely had a lot of influence into me falling into this path. And it's something that once I got in there, I didn't see anything else. Mm-hmm. Or I was seeing how I can merge the things that I was doing together so that it could all become one.
So have you ever just kind of sat down with a lot of, you know, any of your training partners and just kind of talked to them about different things? Have any of them come to you yet and just, you know, talk to you just to get some advice? And have you tested out your skills, if you will, as far as, you know, just kind of being a counselor to some of your training partners?
No. I feel like with that is when you're around a bunch of people who do the same things, we end up being each other's support. Like, So when I was in Cali and I was literally living with like 10 other fighters, you know, we eat, sleep, and, you know, dream with everything that we were doing. Mm-hmm. My friend, Flo Hani, we were together for a very long time. We lived together the whole time. I would say, if anything, we talked a lot about just the mental part of fighting and how like this is the everyday grunt work. And for her and I, we also had another layer of perspective over, you know, not only how does this affect me as an individual, but then also like the intersection of being a woman in the sport as well, being a woman weight cutting, mm-hmm. and all these other things that, you know, become challenges for us. So we had each other there for support. So I would never say that it was one-sided. Mm-hmm. It was a mutual thing. And it was, I guess, reassuring to say, look, hey, you know, like she's from Tahiti, I'm from St. Louis, mm-hmm. and we still have a lot of similar feelings about certain things. And so that was one of those eye-opening things, like, all right, how these sort of thoughts and ways of life impact people from, you know, all sorts of different walks of life.
Mm, okay. Yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, it's the time to kind of, like you said, you really get to see like how, you know, some people right off top, they say, okay, somebody overseas is going to be different than me, but you're going to see how similar you are when you can just live together, or, you know, just train together for, you know, a good amount of time. What do you, how important is it for fighters to take mental breaks as well? Like, how critical is that? Like, to just kind of like be able to take a time to just unwind and have a time to release, you know, that pressure. Like, how important is that?
I mean, I don't know exactly where this fact comes from, but I'm pretty sure we all have heard it once mm-hmm. upon a time, how stress is like the silent killer.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like that's what's happening. Like, in any career, all the stress and pressure that you put on yourself to perform in whatever magnitude, that it's a lot. You're working at certain skill, you're doing this particular kind of work, and you're doing it day in and day out. Life's about balance. If you're winding yourself up, you need to also be able to, you know, stretch yourself out and relax it too, so that you don't go into overdrive. We're not machines.
Right.
You know? And just having that awareness of the fact, the awareness, one, into your body, of recognizing when your body needs a physical rest, but then also like knowing the signs and knowing the signs of when you're mentally, you know, exhausted as well. You know, it shows up in your mood and how you interact with other people and how you feel about yourself. And those breaks are necessary. It's like, there's a reason why we have a 1 minute rest in between rounds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like,
what would you say are like some early signs of somebody that may be near like a little bit stress, like when it's really starting to get to them, like mentally, like what are some signs of that? Maybe you notice yourself or just in some other people.
Yeah, I think it's really like personality based too, you know, like there's people how they like have learned and been conditioned to manage their stress usually shows up, you know, which, you know, could show up in irritability, or it could show up in being withdrawal. It's like based on like your personality and how you tend to respond when you're under stress. But you know, like a lot of those signs are signs of a lot of other things too, like being fatigued or being, or the opposite of being just extra jittery and anxious. You know, this sadness spells, like all of those sort of things. So it depends on the person, but whenever you leave your baseline, mm-hmm. those are typically the pieces that you have to be aware of. Like, you know how you are on a daily. And once you start to either go below or above mm-hmm. that, that's where you're starting to feel, okay, there's some spikes in,
right.
in your wellness that you need to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were a teacher too, so you know like signs of stress coming in, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And that was the one thing that like, I guess one thing that is helpful that we kind of suggest is like yoga, the practice of yoga and meditation, is because it helps people to slow down, to even feel the physical things that are happening in their body, that happens, that are usually warning signs that could help you to realize, okay, I think I need to like withdraw back. I need to take a moment to breathe because my heart's getting elevated or my hands are getting clammy. And But when we have been conditioned to be like this all the time, there's no space and no time for that pause to even realize what's really going on, or seeing where the actual source of that those feelings are coming from. A lot of times then that energy gets displaced, you know, once other people or in other situations, that's not really even actually the root cause of it. So just that pausing.
Okay. So going back to fighting, I want to ask you this, because recently, you know, Felicia Spencer, UFC featherweight, she decided to call it a day. She's retiring from the game. Like, for you, like, do you see an end game for the fight game? You know, because I tell people too, you know, I talk to people and say, look, this is a young woman, young man sport. But like, do you see it as an end game? And if you do, does that kind of help you find out what you want to do with the sport and give you kind of a goal to shoot for?
I would describe myself as a planner, and I'm a realistic planner. So I look at like, what's the best case scenario of how things could go, you know? And in that case, I will continue, you know, pursuing this sport competitively as long as I'm healthy and able and I'm doing well, and it's supporting me and I'm still in love with what I do, you know, I'll do it until, you know, the next part of life happens, because I'm sure it will. And then you'll go from there. But then on the other sides of it, I feel like I'm doing all of the things to prepare myself to be able to have other options too. So I'm not, well, and all of that started even before I started the sport though. Like, I went to school for education. I was a teacher. And so it's not that I don't love teaching. I like teaching. Now it's like I get to teach in a different kind of way. So no matter what I do, I find myself ending up in positions where I educate. And so, and I also got into counseling, which is, you know, around the same era. So there's a professional things that I'm also pursuing on the side of fighting with counseling, and also just being on the other side of being an athlete, which is, you know, being on a teaching side, instructing, being in the gym, coaching classes and things like that. So I could still see myself, you know, being in the sport and doing other things that connects with the sport, or I can end up doing something totally different. I'm open, I'm flexible to, you know, just keep staying in touch with myself as to, you know, where my heart is at it. You know, at the end of the day, you want to do something that you love doing, and I'm going to keep doing that and, you know, adapt and flow as things go.
Okay. All right. So I don't want to keep you too long, Brittany, but what are some goals of yours that you have, you know, fight related and non fight related, you know, for, I don't like to do New Year's resolutions, anything like that, but I just mean like some goals that you have now that you really want to shoot for, you know, no time put on it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm looking right now, I like made this little vision board of basically those things, short-term goals, long-term goals, and all of this stuff. Some short-term goals, I would say like within like the year or maybe a couple years outside of fighting, I've been collaborating with a yoga instructor. We've been wanting to put together like a mindful yoga workshop, basically, you know, teaching those basic things I was speaking about earlier, mindfulness and getting in touch with your body and all of that kind of stuff. So we wanted to, you know, create a little program to do some different workshops like that. My orientation for counseling, I want to combine, I want to make it holistic, and I want to service clients by not just, you know, physically, you know, helping them to reach their goals, but to also incorporate all of the mental and emotional pieces that needs to be there in order to make those things happen and for it to like stay. So I'm calling that my lifestyle changers therapy group that I'm planning to do in the future, where we work on just that holistic piece of how do I improve, you know, my physical wellness, my mental wellness, all those things, because they're all interlaced. So that's something on the outside of it. Long-term future. I want to have my own practice with that, and that's accompanied with, you know, physical education, well, physical, so like a gym as well. And I write poetry for fun. So I want to one day publish that book.
Okay.
I've been working on it. And for fighting, of course, I want to fight on the biggest promotion against the top people. So right now that's the UFC.
Okay. And I know, I want to ask you this too. You want to come back sometime, like first quarter 2022, anything in the works right now? Or are you still trying to lock in a fight, lock in an opponent?
No, you said out of those things, what I'm trying to lock in first?
Oh, no, this is a separate question. So are you trying to come back sometime, like first quarter 2022? Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm really working to try to, you know, get a matchup in January. I've been training. I've been, you know, just sticking to it, and I'm ready for whatever I can find as soon as I can.
Okay. And you're fighting at 135 now for sure, right? Do you still fight at 125, or you just stay in
135?
Just 135. Okay. I'm just making sure. All right.
Yeah, I'm about to say weight class. Oh, that's a whole nother conversation. But okay. Now 35 it is.
Okay. All right, Brittany. Well, you know, I'm glad to have you on again. It's always good to talk to you. Before you go, though, just let everybody know they can follow you. Of course, I'll post it up here. You know, you just let everybody know where they can follow you. Give out that info.
Yeah, for sure. On all of my social media, it's thequietstorm_MMA on Instagram, quietstorm_MMA on Twitter, and thequietstormMMA on Facebook. You can find me on all those. I actually do have a YouTube page now.
Okay.
So it's Brittany Cloudy, The Quiet Storm, on there as well. If you can find me there and subscribe, I'll definitely be uploading some content soon.
All right. One other question. One of your training partners, Carla Sparza, it seems like it's taken a long time for her to get a title shot here. She's on a 5-fight win streak. What's taking so long? What do you think? Do you think she deserves it? Yes or no? I mean, I think she does. But what about you?
Yes, I'm waiting for it. I'm excited for it. This is the time. They've already been kind of, you know, oh, let's go get this person first. Oh, let's get this. All right. Well, I'm kind of like, well, here's Carla right here. Right. So I feel like that's the next thing for her. And it'll be cool to have her and Rose meeting again. So I know she's ready. I know she's working hard. So
because I talk about that over here a lot. I talk about that fight a lot. I'm like, she deserves it. Like, is there anything else she needs to do? Like, bust Dana's door down or just say, you know, because it's like they're just kind of going around. I just don't get that. I mean, it's politics, but yeah. But Brittany, again, thank you for coming on, and hope to talk to you again. And yeah, good luck for your future. You know, hope you come back first quarter next year. You know, we're looking forward to seeing you back.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you as well.
All right. Always be safe. See you later.